Hey, everybody, welcome back. If you've heard us before on Seller Performance Solutions, I'm Chris McCabe, today joined by Jay Lagarde of Ecom Engine. And before I welcome you formally, I'd like to point out that I am wearing my Ecom Engine shirt today, which for those of you familiar with some videos and photos from my European travels, I was often recording things wearing this shirt.
So. Awesome.
Throughout France.
Thank you. Hills, we appreciate
the hills of France. Well, we had an event there last month. Yeah. Feels like a million years ago. But yeah, you've always been involved and supportive of our conferences and events over the years. And we've known you for 9 or 10 years, quite a long time.
Well, I think I probably met you soon after you left Amazon, I think, and started in this business.
Yeah.
Somebody introduced us and we've on and off since then. So, yeah.
Well, you were my first webinar. I'm pretty sure that would be 2015. So
wow.
That's where we were.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. So things have changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
In the years of easy money, throw up the listing, don't worry about how much it costs. You know you're going to make money. In the years before, huge ad spend. In the years before, FBA storage fees. I won't say people had it easy or people had no competition, but I think Amazon was just a smoother ride, and most people agree with that. Unless they had their account suspended or policy warnings or all the crazy stuff that me and my teams deal with. But then we went through the whole COVID, you know, a lot of people were selling a lot of stuff. In the post-COVID universe, fees are higher. People are spending way more on ad costs. And then policy changes, right? Things like the reimbursement ticket system was totally altered.
Yeah.
So in that universe and in that kind of structuring the conversation around that, what are the top challenges to profitability that brands face now that you think they might not be ready to handle, or maybe, you know, they really need assistance with help?
I think that's a great question. And I would just say, I agree with you that there are new challenges, but it's kind of like there, if you dial back 10 years, you say, yeah, it was easier. But if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, we'd probably be bemoaning the new challenges that existed at the time, because there always are. But the positive side is that the marketplace is growing, and it still is growing, and more of Amazon sales are being handled by third-party sellers. And more we're seeing professional sellers, you know, sellers selling $1 million or more a year on Amazon. They're actually growing faster than the overall number of sellers totally. So it's just the current dynamic of the market. But, you know, you say, what are the challenges of profitability? Well, a lot of the new challenges, I mean, obviously tariffs are a very non-trivial thing, and the disruption in supply chains, and then the uncertainty around that, right? The uncertainty creates costs, which are non-trivial. There are fee changes. There are threats that happen all the time that can disrupt your account. This is your domain, Chris, but you know, you've always got to be controlling for risks, and all of a sudden you shut down, either if it's a SKU or a brand or your whole thing, and then you've got to go through a lot of process, and it's very hard to predict. It's very hard to have complete control over those risks. That's a big, big factor. If you're shut down for a week, that'll crush your profits. If your account gets locked up and you can't get your money out, it's not a good thing. And that happens. Yeah. And we all know that it happens more often than we would like.
And even if you fix the initial problem, you've lost sales rank on those listings.
You absolutely have. You're playing catch up at that point. And that's not a fun thing to happen. You know, and there's always new things. There's new advertising opportunities, which is exciting, but there's also gotchas along the way. How do you take proper advantage? How do you not overspend? There's issues with storage fees, long-term fees. And then, of course, there's the new Amazon warehouse solution, which is exciting, but it's also new. And it also has risks associated with it, that your inventory won't be slotted as consistently as you theoretically would hope it would be. So all that type of uncertainty are things that can eat into profits. But, you know, one of the things is that we have noticed again and again and again is when we talk to sellers and we're talking about their business and things that they're watching. And they know the things that can hurt their profits. I mean, they, you know, most business owners, they know the platform well. But you say, well, how often are you checking that? And how often are you doing that? And there's many times they, I know I should do that, right? I know I should do that. And so there's a lot of things that people leave to chance because they're distracted by other things and they're hoping there won't be a problem. And you see that in, you see that just like you see that with a lot of your customers that come to you, they say, uh-oh, you know, I got suspended. It's like, yeah, but I wish I would have been more attentive to this thing. Well, but you weren't. And so people are always taking risks. Well, people are taking risks with profit too. And if you're building a business, if you're building a life and a business around Amazon, you've got employees, your family depend, you depend on Amazon for your, that's a big thing, right? And you want to reduce risks and you want to protect profit because every single SKU you have is, we call it a profit engine, every SKU you have, and you want to protect it. And so just getting distracted, which is just part of life and part of business, is to be looking for new ways to grow. You're always looking for new ways to grow. You're always looking for new opportunity. But if you're not keeping your eye on the ball, or tools help you keep the eye on the ball and not just keep an eye on it, but actually have a systematic, easy way to deal with issues when they arise, you tend to put in your mind, I'll deal with that tomorrow, or I'll deal with that later, or that's really not going to be a big problem. And that mindset is often, as simple as this sounds, is the universal cause of profit loss in a business that just doesn't scale well because they haven't put the systems in place to keep track of things that they know they should, they just don't.
Well, do you think, I mean, do you think people have fallen behind on, they're spending more on whether storage fees, ads, whatever, and they know how much it costs to make the product they're selling? Do you think they don't spend the time to make sure that there is still a profit?
Exactly.
At all?
Exactly. Or sometimes it started out, when you, it started out, you checked it once and there was a profit, but then you've got something that's happened with your storage fees, or maybe your fulfillment fees have gone up, or maybe your return rates have gone up. And if you're not watching that, and sometimes it can, you know, creep on you, that can be a creep. And sometimes it happens all at once, and then you're losing money. Amazon is remarkably exciting to see what Amazon FBA could do and how incredible it is and what a rush it is to be blasting out products and selling them through the FBA machine. But that's a vanity metric, right? The real metric is, are you making money? And it's being very strategic, very intentional, very methodical day after day. The kind of boring stuff, that's what we're hoping and what we are coaching our clients and customers to be very attentive to. And we think that's a very key element in this year and in the coming years to ensure that your company is going to be around.
Right. So it's gotten, their use of tools has probably gotten more sophisticated, but they need to be more sophisticated in their assessment of profitability. So how do you get them to the up your game and improve your tool usage conversation to the application of it? Because I would imagine they need a very short, an accelerated timeline to get to the point where they understand very quickly if they have to stop listing certain ASINs, if they have to stop producing certain products and either emphasize other products that are doing better or change gear somehow in terms of what they're selling.
And the answer is, yes, there's tons of data underneath that, but it's a matter of making sense out of the data and what we would say signal to noise ratio. Our job as a company that helps Amazon sellers is to increase signal and reduce noise. And signal is often what most drives profit and what protects your profit. And so the answer is sometimes it's simpler than it seems. It's staring right in front of you, but you don't see it. And right. It's making it easy to see and easy to use, and then easy to execute on the insights that you have. And so by structuring the data, by making it simple, and by helping our users to execute on the insights, not just once, but day after day, month after month, and doing it in a systematic, cadenced way that's built into the operating system of your business, That is where the magic happens for protecting your profit.
Now, I have a question. Because agencies, but a lot of brand owners we have heard from aren't working with the same number of staff as they used to. So are you encountering problems where you teach people to use certain tools in certain ways and then they're like, well, we lost that person. We have to start all over again.
Yeah.
Or are they institutionally prepared for that so that whenever there's a training or wherever there's a conversation that addresses these issues, they've got three people listening instead of one?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly right. I think that's a very important point because, you know, a business owner, an Amazon seller, they know a lot of stuff, but it's all in their head. They can't do it all, right? They need 10 people, and you lose somebody and you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And so this is why maturity in a company, it doesn't matter whether you're a 30-person company or a 3-person company, right? Mm-hmm. You still need to have mature systems in place. And part of those systems are things that can be replicated. They're things that are documented and can be replicated. And if things are too complicated, right? If things are very complicated and you've got this, you know, very unusual airplane dashboard that only one person knows how to fly this unusual plane with all this bells and switches and all this kind of stuff, and they've got it all in their head. And then, you know, something happens, they take another job or they get sick or their spouse moves or whatever the case may be, you know, things happen. You know, what do you do then? You're in a problem and that's when things go awry. And so a good system and a good tool, right, is something that makes things easier and simpler to execute on the core tasks. Mm-hmm. Something that is too complicated is wonderful to look at and wonderful to see and fun to, but you don't use it and it can't be used except by one person or two people that are super well trained in this. Well, it's a great tool, but it's not being used. And having something that's usable, and then there's kind of accountability mechanisms built in, like, okay, this is a problem. Are we dealing with it? Are we ignoring it, sweeping it under the rug? Those kinds of small things are important, and a good tool and good reporting can make a huge difference on it.
Are you seeing people taking shortcuts, ill-advised shortcuts that cause more problems in the long run?
All the time.
Skipping steps, and then how do you coach them on that or react to that? Do you see people making the same mistakes so you can kind of just generate a bulleted list of the top three or four things that they have to?
Yes, there's definitely a checklist mindset of things that can go wrong. And part of what we build into our software, just looking for these common problems that we know get missed regularly. You can't find everything, but you can find a lot. And so, you know, let's look at your finance ratios. Let's look at your return rates. Let's look at your ad cost relative to other SKUs, relative to other people in your category. Mm-hmm. Let's benchmark your performance on each SKU and then across SKUs. Those are things that we can do very systematically and make it crisp and clear, you know, how your business is doing. I mean, that is something that needs to be done, that every seller needs to do.
So ad costs come up a lot. Maybe for some category products, they're skyrocketing quicker than others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking to somebody who says, I can't win an ads arms race, what advice do you give them? They don't want to stop selling their product entirely after 3-4 years of selling it, presumably.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the first step is to recognize I'm spending too much on ads and recognize that the bottom line isn't sales, but it's profitable sales.
Yeah.
And so if you're not able to sell this thing with ads, you've got to look at other SEO opportunities. You've got to look at sourcing opportunities to get it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole range of different things in the Amazon toolbox. And then you may have to have and that's creative, right? They're creative things. There are certain things that you are part of a checklist of, well, how can I sell this thing without ads? And then, Google's just no longer
paying off.
That's like you used to. Everything changes and opportunities are always emerging. And so it's when you identify that something's not working, then, you know, you put your mind and say, well, okay, if I maybe I need to do more SEO. Maybe I need to figure out doing listing optimization.
Right.
Maybe I need to look at my reviews and say, can I remove some negative reviews by seeing that they violated Amazon policy and get above a certain rank? All of a sudden my review pops up a certain threshold, and that can really improve your SEO in a non-trivial way. Or maybe I need to, you know, within Amazon's bounds, solicit the right type of reviews. All of those things can move the needle quite a bit. That are different from ads. Of course, there's also social media. There's also influencer networks that you can use. There's many, many ways to move. The important thing is that whatever you're doing, you need to make sure that you're going to be making money. And if you're not making money, then you have to ask the question. Nobody likes to ask it. And this is the old Amazon term. Is this thing a piece of crap? which means in Amazon's term, you know, can't realize a profit, CRAP.
Yeah.
And if it really is CRAP, well, okay. Sometimes you just need to suck it up and deal with that and spend your time somewhere else. Because everything you spend your time on, that time is a resource. And if you're spending time on something that is ultimately just going to be CRAP, then go find something that's not going to be that. And our tooling and our whole philosophy is that spend your time on the things that produce the most value for your business. And that sometimes means not doing things and letting things go and focus on the things that are moving the needle for you.
No vanity projects, only profitable projects.
Yeah. Yep.
So what else are you seeing these days that you're helping people with in terms of trends you've identified? We're heading pretty quickly into Q4. So
yeah.
I'd imagine you're having those Q4 type conversations. I know we are.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of excitement and interest in Amazon's new warehousing system, because this abstracts a lot of the complexity out of your FBA inventory management in theory, right? You don't have to think about, you know, inbound shipments to multiple warehouses.
Right.
You don't have to think about a lot of things. It offers opportunities for making, you know, larger quantity purchases and get discounts on those purchases and just send them into Amazon and let them take care of everything else. You don't have long-term storage fee problems in the same way. In theory, you shouldn't have things go out of stock. In theory.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot to be learned about that, but it is a very exciting thing. Amazon is obviously, you know, pushing it. And that is a big thing going on in the market right now. It's going to change the way people think, or it is changing the way people think about inventory management, about restocking, and about the whole profit engine for any SKU is focused on that. Of course, you still don't want too much, because if you have too much, that you're tying up dollars. And then you have to be very strategic about how you tie up your limited cash. But still, it's exciting, and it simplifies inventory. It simplifies inventory management if the system works as we hope it will, and as Amazon is thinking it will. Fourth quarter, people are anxious about it for fourth quarter. Why? Because if you have a hot seller and it doesn't get slotted quickly enough, it's not there when it's selling, you lose those sales. And come January, nothing you can do about it. Those sales are not going to come back if you get the stuff in there in January.
Right.
You need to have it there in December when things are moving. And people are understandably reluctant to completely trust that things are going to move in. So this year will be different from last year. And I know a lot of people that are using this system are going to be watching very carefully and seeing, does this system work well, or am I better off overstocking in the regular Amazon warehouse and not trusting the new warehouse solution?
Yeah. And it'll be interesting, of course, goes without saying, the impact of tariffs on Q4 and profitability. I don't know what kind of forecasting is already in place for that, but we'll have to just see how it goes. And I'm sure we'll do a part two conversation, you know, about this very same topic, because a lot of people won't be as profitable as they could have been or should have been or would have been because of tariffs and maybe because of adjustments they did or didn't make because of tariffs, right?
Absolutely. So, tariffs. Maybe next time, and I did not bring it up, but AI. Yeah. I mean, obviously AI is a hugely disruptive factor, both in terms of internal management of the Amazon sellers, in terms of SEO, how that's working. That's an exciting whole another conversation.
That'll be our next podcast with you, Jay.
Yeah. Awesome.
So how can people reach you if they've got questions or comments on anything they heard from me today?
Yeah. You know, reach out to us. We're all about, you know, one of our key, you know, we've always been very keen on feedback and product reviews and management. We've got Restock Pro, which is a fairly mature restocking system that does inventory forecasting and helps you keep your inventory in balance. And our newest project and our real core focus these days is and is just rolling it all up together and putting profit first for our customers and thinking, let's keep your eye and your focus on the end in mind and not chase vanity metrics, but build a long-term business. So ecomengine.com and Chris, I'll make sure we send you a few coupon codes for your listeners. If they'd like to try one of our tools for free or get a discount. And
we'll include in the show notes any, you know, a summary of the different tools you offer or discount codes as well. That would be great.
Thank you. Well, great talking, enjoying the conversation, and we'll chat again, I'm sure, at some point.
I'm sure as all of these interesting phenomena unfold, we will have a second conversation touching on a lot of these topics, because I think a lot of people agree that this is going to be three or four of the most interesting months that we've had probably since 2020, 2021 in this business. So we'll see what happens.
It will be. Well, it's coming on us sooner than we realize. It's coming fast.
It's by the time you hear this, it'll be around the corner for sure.
So. Prime Day, we're getting ready for December. I know. So that's the way it works.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
Okay, Chris. Great chatting.